Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And in today's unit, we're traveling, and this is how we begin the month of May, so maybe you could make some travel plans for this summer. Although during the summer, it might be hot where we're going to go in today's program. We're going to Vietnam, and more specifically, we're going to a place called Da Nang.
I would venture to guess that Vietnam is pretty warm all year round. But, I would prefer to go when it's a little cooler. I think it might be a little hot over there right now. I've never been myself, but I've had friends who have gone and really loved it.
Indeed. So, of course, this is a town or a city on the coast there. Of course, Vietnam is an ocean country. I'm not quite sure if that's the Pacific Ocean there, but it's close enough. So, yes, indeed, if you like the beach and if you like other things, Da Nang is going to be a treat for you. So let's find out what this place is all about. Let's read through today's lesson now one time. If you love to travel but hate large crowds, long lines, and sky-high prices geared toward tourists, why not visit the coastal city of Da Nang, Vietnam? Steeped in history and boasting lush landscapes, Da Nang is off the beaten path but still has lots to offer in comforts. Tourists who do make it there are treated to one of the most beautiful beaches on Earth, an ancient trading port, and stunning natural wonders.Vietnam's fifth largest city, Da Nang, is one of the country's most important ports. For centuries, its central location has made it a significant stepping stone into the country. Starting in the 16th century, several European countries conducted trade in the region, and it was the French who colonized Vietnam in the 1800s. A century later, American troops first landed at Da Nang,and turned the city into a major base during the Vietnam War. You should visit this historical city from January through July to avoid monsoons and heavy rains. Warm and dry during this time, the weather is perfect for exploring the Marble Mountains. In the city's south, a cluster of five marble mountains dots the landscape, each with cave entrances that lead to hidden grottos. Head to Thuy Son,the only one of these mountains open to visitors, and climb its 156 steps for a spectacular view from the summit. Another summit worth exploring is at Son Tra Peninsula, home to a rare species of monkey and some Buddhist monasteries. Besides taking in the view from Son Tra's peak, you can check out Linh Ung Pagoda, featuring Vietnam's tallest statue, the Lady Buddha,and sit in the shade of a massive 1,000-year-old banyan tree.
So let's dive in, guys. We're talking about a beautiful country that's pretty much in our neighborhood, Vietnam. Or, I know a lot of people say Vietnam. They're both acceptable. I say Vietnam. Vietnam is great, though. It's divine. Divine Da Nang or Divine Da Nang.So a place is described as being divine. It's heavenly. It's so beautiful. So it's pleasing to you. It's delightful. It's a wonderful place to go. And we're going to be talking about this particular city that's being described here by our author as a coastal gem. If you're on the coast, you're on the edge of the sea, you're close to the water, the ocean. And if you're described as being a gem is another word for a precious stone or semi-precious stone, but it's also used to describe somebody who's pretty wonderful. So I have a favorite brother, and I would tell you, you know, in my description of him, I would say he's a real gem. He'll do anything for you. He's fun. He's kind. He's a gem. So we use it like that as well, but it's just something that's really beautiful.
Yes, don't call it a coastal jewel, though. I suppose maybe some people could, but in this context here, you would call it a coastal gem, a place you can go to where you can get a really magical experience.
Mm-hmm.
So here in the first paragraph, we begin by saying, if you love to travel but hate large crowds, long lines, and sky-high prices geared toward tourists, why not visit the coastal city of Da Nang, Vietnam? That's a good question. Why not do that? So here are the conditions. If you love to travel, I think most people do, but you hate large crowds, yes, most people do. And if you hate long lines, yes, most people do.
Yeah.
And if you hate sky-high prices geared toward tourists, well, most people do, then maybe you should go to Da Nang because I guess you won't have those things. You won't have large crowds. You won't have long lines. And things will not be really, really expensive. So, of course, sky-high prices. Really high prices. Things are expensive there, and they're geared toward tourists. So here we've got gear as a verb with the preposition toward, geared toward. That means that's what it's for, that's what it's designed for. Tourists will have to pay more money just because they're tourists.
Yeah, it's not as expensive as some places that you could choose to travel to. I know a lot of our listeners love to go to Japan for good reason. It's beautiful there. The food's good. It's very clean. I like Japan too, but this is a place to go if you don't like a lot of people and you don't want to stand in lines, which I hate. That's like Disneyland. I immediately think of amusement parks when I see long lines. And who wants to pay a lot of money when you're on vacation? You want to get as much out of your money as possible. This is a country you should go to. It says here it's steeped in something. If you're steeped in something, it means you have a lot of that thing in you or you're soaking up this thing. So we often use steep to talk about making tea. You'll put those tea leaves in and you'll steep them for a while. So the flavor of the leaves, you know, goes into the water. So if it's steeped in history, it's got tons of history. So there's a lot of history there and it also boasts lush landscapes. We use this word boast as a verb when we want to talk about something that we have or something maybe that your country offers that you're really proud of. It needs to be something positive. Don't put something negative after that. So it's got beautiful, lush, green landscapes. If something's lush, it's very green. Probably has a lot of rain in that area as well.
Right, so of course there are a lot of things to see and do there in terms of history. If you like museums maybe or old streets, they probably have got those things.
Love that.
And lush landscapes, lots of trees, lots of forests, jungle maybe. And of course here it says Da Nang is off the beaten path. If we describe a place as being off the beaten path, that means it's kind of out of the way. It's not a major tourist attraction. Here in Taiwan, of course, Kanding is very popular, but if you go up to maybe, oh, I don't know, to Fonggang or something, or maybe over to Daren on the other side, those places are kind of off the beaten path. They're places that tourists don't usually go to. They maybe pass through those places on the way to someplace else, or they're just too far out of the way to bother with. Most people in Vietnam probably go to Saigon or Hanoi or Hue or places like that, and they don't really get to Da Nang that much. So yes, we're describing it as being off the beaten path. So though it is kind of far away, kind of remote, it still has a lot to offer tourists.
I kind of like those places. I like to get away from the big tourist crowds, you know, where they have the buses of people that unload and all go with their tour guide leader who usually has a little stick, a flag on her stick so they don't lose her. Well, the tourists who do make it there are treated to one of the most beautiful beaches on earth. So I would assume that there aren't a lot of people there. There hasn't been a lot of trash left around and pollution. It says it's an ancient trading port. So long, long ago, this is where ships would come in. They would dock there and then they would trade with other merchants who were in the area. We have two port cities I can think of offhand, Geelong and also Kaohsiung down in the south. Those are port cities. It also has stunning natural wonders. There are man-made wonders that people built by, you know, the sweat of their brow. They built those things themselves. And then we have natural wonders that are just part of nature. And they're stunning, which is a word that if you see it, you know you're going to be overwhelmed by the beauty of something. It kind of takes your breath away. Wow, they're very impressive, a very attractive something. So I love natural wonders. Hopefully you get a chance to go there before too many tourists spoil it.
Yeah, that's what happens, of course. Word gets out, and people start to find out about this place, so they start to flood there, and the place gets inundated with tourists. When I went to China many years ago, people said, don't go to Guilin. The place is overrun with tourists. Go to Yangshuo, which is similar to Guilin, but it's, off the beaten path. There are fewer people there. So when I went there, yes, indeed, it did seem like a wonderful place that was off the beaten path. But that was at least 20 years ago. I'm sure things have changed now. But in any case, we're talking about Vietnam. So again, let's talk more specifically about Da Nang. Here in the next paragraph, it says, Vietnam's fifth largest city, Da Nang is one of the country's most important ports. Okay, so it's a port, which means ships come and go there, and they send out products and receive products from overseas and stuff like that. And for centuries, for hundreds of years, its central location has made it a significant stepping stone into the country. So as you know, Vietnam is a long and thin country. There is the north part of Vietnam where Hanoi is, and then there's the south part where Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City is. But in the middle there, kind of the skinny part there, that's where Da Nang is.
Yeah, so we know it's been busy in the trading business for hundreds of years. So starting in the 16th century, that's the 1500s, guys, several European countries conducted trade in the region. I'm sure they came over here to Southeast Asia and thought, wow, there's so many exotic products here, and got excited and kept that particular country on their sailing route so they could trade with the people who lived there at the time. Now, it's the French and those people in France who actually colonized Vietnam in the 1800s. So if you go to Vietnam, you're going to hear a lot of French, too. There's still that French language that has stuck around. If you colonize a country, it usually means a bigger, more powerful country moves in with some settlers to a weaker country, and they establish control over it. Usually it takes a military to do that. Sometimes they help the area out. They'll build hospitals and schools, and sometimes it's just a mess. And the people, the indigenous people there, really want these colonizers out.
Right, so that was part of French Indochina, I believe, which included Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. So that's the French there colonizing Vietnam way back in the 1800s. We'll continue talking about Da Nang in just a couple of seconds. We're going to take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，我是哈利，欢迎收听 English Digest. 今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 2的第一天课程。首先我们看到全文的第一句 If you love to travel but hate large crowds, long lines and sky-high prices geared toward tourists, why not visit the coastal city of Da Nang, Vietnam? 如果你喜欢旅行但不喜欢大量的人群、冗长队伍以及专门针对观光客而定的极高价位，何不前往越南的滨海城市岘港？这句中的名词 lines 是行列、排队队伍的意思。片语 wait in line 或 stand in line 是排队的意思。Kevin hates to wait in line for anything, as he considers it a waste of time. 凯文讨厌为任何东西排队，因为他认为这很浪费时间。片语 cut in line 则是插队的意思。例如Paul tried to cut in line, but was condemned by the others who got in before him. 保罗试着插队，但被其他在他之前排队的人谴责。另外，这句有一个动词 gear, 适合的意思。Be geared toward somebody 就是指适合某人。例如 ,The animated film is geared toward children. 这部动画片适合孩童。我们再看到第一段的第二句。Steeped in history and boasting lush landscapes, Da Nang is off the beaten path, but still has lots to offer in comforts. 岘港的历史悠久并拥有丰富的景观，虽然人迹罕至，但仍能提供许多宜人舒适的事物。本句以过去分词 steeped 开头，原来的句子是 Da Nang is steeped in history and boasts lush landscapes.And Da Nang is often off the beaten path. 两句的主词相同，省略第一句的主词后， be 动词 is 也省略，只留下表被动语态的过去分词 steeped， 而另一个表主动语态的动词 boasts 则改成现在分词 boasting， 最后省略连接词 and 便形成了分词构句。动词 steep 有浸泡的意思，片语 be steeped in something 有充满什么的意思。例如Tainan is a city that is steeped in history. 台南是个充满历史的城市。我们接着看到文章第二段的第三句的后半部分。And it was the French who colonized Vietnam in the 1800s. 而法国人于西元19世纪时殖民越南。本句使用分列句型 it is 点点点 that 或是 it was 点点点 that 来加强语气。有正是什么的意思，将一个句子要强调的部分，例如主词、受词、子句等，放在 it is 和 that 之间，再将句子的剩余部分放在 that 之后，就形成了分列句型。当强调的部分是人的时候， that 可替换成 who， 强调的部分是事物的时候， that 可替换成 which。 例如原本的句子是Peter accomplished the difficult job all by himself. 彼得自己一个人完成这个困难的工作。如果要强调主词，说明正是彼得自己一个人完成这个困难的工作，那就可改成 It was Peter that 或 It was Peter who accomplished the difficult job all by himself.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with today's lesson. Remember, we're talking about Da Nang, Vietnam, and we're talking about the history of Da Nang. Remember, it's kind of in the central part of Vietnam there, so it was kind of a stepping stone for various powers to kind of come in there and establish trade with the Vietnamese there. So the French colonized Vietnam in the 1800s, and a century later, more specifically, I think in the 1960s, American troops first landed at Da Nang and turned the city into a major base during the Vietnam War. So as you know, of course, there was a war there in Vietnam with America and Vietnam getting involved there. And of course, soldiers are troops. That's just another term for troops, especially if they're coming as an army or something. So the troops landed at Da Nang and it was used as a military base during the Vietnam War, which was from the early 60s until about, 1975 or so?
Yeah.
That's when it was all over.
We also use troop in the singular form to talk about a group of kids, for example, who are Boy Scouts, you know, my Boy Scout troop or my Girl Scout troop. If you use it as a verb, guys, which you can, just means to walk around. Yeah, they trooped in an hour late to class. Or they, you know, they were out there trooping around the night market. Sometimes you'll hear that. But here it definitely refers to military soldiers. So they first landed, as Tom said, at Da Nang, and turned the city into a major base. A base is where soldiers and their families will live for a more permanent amount of time, and then they're sent out from there. So they had a permanent base during the Vietnam War at that time. Of course, in the Vietnam War, they didn't bring their families over. It was too dangerous. Hmm. So you should visit this historical city from January through July to avoid monsoons.And heavy rains. I'm used to monsoons, oddly enough. I grew up in the desert, but every August we have monsoon season, which means these big thunderstorms come in and it pours rain. It's not sprinkling, it's pouring rain, which we love in Arizona because we have very little rain. But they have a ton of rain in Vietnam, but you're going to want to avoid the months when they have monsoons and heavy rains because you'll be stuck inside your hotel. Don't go then.
Indeed. So, of course, now is a good time to go because, you know, it's still before July. It's May right now. So Plan now if you want to go, so you can go there to avoid the rain and the monsoons. Warm and dry during this time, from January through July. The weather is perfect for exploring the Marble Mountains. That's a mountain range, I believe, near Da Nang. And in the city's south, a cluster of 5 marble mountains dots the landscape, each with cave entrances that lead to hidden grottos. So if you're into cave exploration, you should head to these mountains down there because they have caves in these mountains. There are 5 mountains, 5 marble mountains. I guess they're made out of marble, just like Taroko Gorge here. And we've got a cluster here, which means a group of something, usually small in number, like a cluster of mountains here. On your bicycle, you might have a cluster of gears at the end there. You've got maybe 7 or 8 gears in the back of your bicycle. That's also referred to as a cluster of gears, but here it's a group of 5 marble mountains.
Yeah, for some reason, this phrase comes to mind, a cluster of cells, you know, in your body, maybe cancerous cells. So just a small group of something.
There are star clusters, too.
Oh, yeah, a cluster of stars.
Like the Pleiades cluster. You know.
Yeah. When you're talking about a grotto, guys, you're talking about a very small but picturesque kind of beautiful cave, especially one that's artificial. They'll actually build these in parks or in a garden, but they can be natural as well. Then we're going to head to a place called Tuisan. That's the only one of these mountains that you can actually go and see as a visitor. And you're going to have to climb, so if you're out of shape, better practice before you go to Vietnam on vacation. You're going to climb 156 steps, which might not sound like a big deal, but it is if you're out of shape. But there's a payoff or reward at the end of that trek up the steps because you're going to see a spectacular view from the summit. The summit is the top of a mountain. Boy, I would look forward to that. I think I could do the 156 steps.
Doesn't sound too bad.
No. Spectacular. That's a great word. It just means really beautiful, very dramatic, takes your breath away. It's eye-catching. It's just really amazing. So it's worth the 156 steps you have to take. But don't dress for warm weather. Make sure you're not wearing too many clothes because you're going to sweat.
Right. You might want to bring a light jacket with you. It might be cool at the summit. Probably not, though.
Hopefully. This is Vietnam. Cool you down, maybe.
Exactly. So, yes, go there if you're into mountain climbing. And another summit, another mountaintop worth exploring is at the Son Tra Peninsula. A peninsula, of course, is a body of land that sticks out into water, like the Shandong Peninsula in China there. And this is home to a rare species of monkey and some Buddhist monasteries. I think actually Son Tra in Vietnamese means monkey, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
but
so
neither one of us speak Vietnamese, so don't quote us.
I don't know Vietnamese at all, but I know some Vietnamese people.
Yeah,
but,
we have
that
some nice ones here.
But in any case, here we've got the phrase home to. That just means that this is where you can find this thing. It's home to a rare species or a rare kind of monkey. If you like monkeys and you like trying to take pictures of exotic species of monkey, well, this is the place to you. It's home to this monkey. Also, there are some Buddhist monasteries there. Mm-hmm. Where the monks and the nuns go to study Buddhism. You know, they shave off all their hair and wear the robes and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. So you're also going to be taking in this view. We talked about how you have to go up to the summit or the top of the mountain, as Tom explained. Besides doing this, you can check out a pagoda called the Linh Ung Pagoda. It features Vietnam's tallest statue, the Lady Buddha. This is very, very famous. If you look online, you'll see lots of pictures of this beautiful statue. It's really big. A pagoda is a Hindu or Buddhist temple. It typically has a lot of tiered layers that make up a tower. So you're going to see that, and you'll also be able to sit in the shade of a massive or huge 1,000-year-old banyan tree. We have a lot of banyan trees here in Taiwan. This one's really old. I can't believe it made it through all those years.
Very interesting. Of course, those are symbols of Buddhism there, the banyan tree. and Lady Buddha, or is it the Puti tree? I'm not quite sure if they're the same thing, but in any case here, this tree is really, really big, so if you're into trees, this is something you definitely have to check out and take pictures of and touch it for good luck or whatever. And Lady Buddha here, I wonder if that's referring to the Guan Yin statue. I don't have pictures myself here, but in any case, it's still a statue probably worth seeing.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is a pagoda, which is a structure that has an odd number of floors, like 5, 7, or 9 or something. Mm-hmm. There, of course, are lots of pagodas here in Taiwan as well. So these are some of the sites that you can experience in Da Nang there, but it sounds like it's more about the area around Da Nang there. We're going to talk about things you can do at the beach in our next program, so make sure you join us then. But before we say goodbye today, we'd like now to hear from our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到最后一段的第四句中有一个形容词 spectacular, 意思是壮观的。其他表示壮观的的形容词有 magnificent, M-A-G-N-I-F-I-C-E-N-T,The magnificent Great Wall of China attracts tens of thousands of tourists every year. 中国壮观的万里长城每年吸引了数万名游客。Majestic, M-A-J-E-S-T-I-C. The majestic mountain range stretches far into the distance. 那座壮丽的山脉一直绵延到远方。Splendid, S-P-L-E-N-D-I-D.The hotel boasts a splendid ocean view. 这间旅馆有壮观的海景。我们最后看到全文的倒数第二句有一个形容词 worth. Worth 是指值得什么的。Worth 后的动词要变成 ving. 例如 ,many film critics say that the movie is definitely worth watching. 许多影评家说这部电影绝对值得观赏。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. We are talking about the Divine Da Nang. It's a coastal gem in Vietnam. You can go there in addition to places like Hanoi or Haiphong or Hue or whatever, or Cameron Bay. This place is certainly worth your time if you can put it on your itinerary. And if you go there, we hope you have the time of a lifetime. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.